She would also would like to say thank you for your warm welcome as well. So my name's Anne Granger. Me and Anne Broome there, we started along with another lady called Lynn, Voice of Hope, back in 2015. So I know this isn't a very pleasant subject at all, raising awareness of modern slavery and human trafficking, and we all wish that this atrocity didn't exist, but it does exist. And so, you know, only the Lord knows why he's called people like me and Anne to raise awareness of this atrocity and bring it to the light and do what we can to help rescue these victims who found themselves caught in this awful, awful world of modern slavery and human trafficking. And I was just, that last song there, that was a beautiful, honestly, the words, God of the poor, you know, and do you know, I am a happy person. I am a happy person. God has made all things good, hasn't he? All things good. And we aren't exempt, Christians aren't exempt from life, are we? Life hits. And I don't like this, forgive me for saying it, this Humpty Dumpty gospel where come to Jesus and your life's going to be absolutely exempt from any trouble or circumstance. And that isn't the truth, is it? I'm sure if we all were truthful in church this morning, we'd put our hands up and say, I've experienced some trouble in my Christian walk, or I've experienced some hardship and it's been hard. But what the Bible does promise is that Jesus said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, and I will walk with you through the storms of life. That's the promise that Jesus gave to us. And so I just felt to say this, you know, that yes, life is so wonderful and it can be really, really a blessing, but it also can be equally hard as Christians as well, going through some awful life stories and life circumstances. So if you are going through something that's really hard today, I just want you to be encouraged that Jesus said that he will walk with you through the storm and through the flood, and no matter what, he'll get you to the other side. Just felt to say that to somebody maybe who might be going through a bit of life experience that's not very pleasant today. And put that to one side, I'll just start with what I've got to say now. I just felt to say that. Is that okay, Sue? You know, because we do sometimes think, where are you, God? Where are you in this? Where are you? But let me tell you, even though you can't see him and you can't trace him, doesn't mean to say that he's not working for you and with you. So just trust him today, okay? So Father, we've just come to share a few words around your word this morning about this work that you've called me and Anne to today, Lord God. And just to share with your church, the body of people here in Chesterton, what's happening round about and the representation that you've given us to represent the church on your behalf in this area, Lord. So, Father, I pray that you would just give me a few good words to share to your people today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. You know, we took the scripture from 1 Samuel 17, and without going through all of it, because I don't know how much time, and I've got no watch on, so I don't want to bore anybody this morning, but just to say, we've all heard of David, haven't we, and Goliath, the story of David and Goliath. Hands up if we've all heard of the story of David and Goliath. Well, basically, we got one of our key little scriptures that hang from this story of David and Goliath. And you know that there was a champion called Goliath, and he was taunting the armies of Saul, saying, send us a man to fight us. You remember the story, don't you? Goliath's over on this one side of the valley, and over on here is Saul's army. And there this war was going on, and the taunts were coming back and forth. Send a man to fight, and if he kills me, we'll serve your army. And you know the story very well. But anyway, some things that we don't tend to read around that story is where David's father, Jesse, sent David on an errand to take some bread and some cheese to his brothers, because he'd got three brothers who were serving in this army. And he sent David with these cheeses, with this bread, to his brothers and to the captains of the army, so that they could, and also he said, and find out how they're doing. How is this war going on? So early this particular morning, David was sent out on the errand, took the cheeses as his dad told him to, and David set off doing an errand that morning. On his journey, David hears this taunting of this man called Goliath. "Send us a man to fight," he said. And you know the end of the story, how the story goes. But David heard this giant taunting the armies of Israel. And he said, "Well, what can be done for the man who destroys this Goliath? Who does he think he is? This giant of a man, 9 foot 9 inches tall." Anyway, he went to, "I'll sort him out." But David's brother said, "Who do you think you are coming down here to this battle? Who do you think you are?" Anyway, the rest of the story is history, because you know that David, he got these stones and he killed this Goliath giant, this giant called Goliath, cut his head off, and the end was that. But one little phrase that David's brother, and David had this conversation and this talk, and David's brother said, "Who are you coming down here? Who do you think you are? You're the least, you're the last. You've got no skill in battle. You've got no skills. You go back to those few sheep." And David said this phrase, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" And when I read that, and with the subject and the topic that we're talking about today, back in the day, maybe 2014, I said to the Lord, "Isn't there a cause today? Isn't there a giant out there today that's taunting God's children, although they might not see themselves as God's children, but all humanity is, they just don't know the Lord, do they, yet? But they're taunting men, women, and children, and he's coming every day through perpetrators, stealing lives. Is there not a cause in this world today?" So I got with this lady, Anne, and my other friend, and our other friend, Lynn, and we said, "We've got to tell our community that there's a giant in our land called modern slavery and human trafficking. Somebody has got to tell them that it's happening today." And we all think, and back in the day, we've probably heard more about it today than we've ever done, because it's on the news quite a lot, and Anne reads many, many articles about what's going on. But we thought, if you'd have said to me over 10 years ago that slavery still exists, I would have said, "No, 200 years ago they dealt with that. You know, we don't see anybody in chains on the auction blocks anymore, and we don't see that." But what happened when William Wilberforce actually finally got the Abolition of the Slave Trade Act come through back in 1807, and abolish slavery, it went underground. So once slavery was legal, then it went underground, and it grew faster and faster and faster. So today there's over 49 million people enslaved in our world. There's over 136,000, there's no robust figures, nobody can count because it's so hidden. So there's over 136,000, they say, there's a lot more, I can tell you that, lot more, within the UK. Stoke-on-Trent and our local police force, they've got over 250 ongoing cases, and last year, 85 recorded cases were actually acknowledged to be cases of modern slavery. I don't know if anybody knows the area of Penkle in Stoke. No? You know where Penkle is? Just over a year and a half ago, there was a chappie called David Handy, and he actually was arrested for Let me try and tell the story right. It came to the attention of the authorities that this fellow who lived in Pencoll had actually, I don't know how to explain it, but over 400 people had gone through his hands into forced labour and modern slavery. And it uncovered one of the largest UK human trafficking rings within the UK. In Pencoll, over 400 men he'd actually allocated into forced labour. And if you see, if you go on the YouTube and you see some of the images where he'd forced some of these men to wash in the canals, and looked at some of the situations where they got these sleeping bags all around the toilet in this one house, and it was just a house on a high street. And if you'd have seen that 400 men had fallen victims to forced labour and had come through that man's hands in Pencoll, you would never believed it was that house on that high street. And it unravelled one of the largest human trafficking rings within the UK. That's how close it is on a doorstep. That's how close it is. So is there not a cause today? Yes, there is a cause today. What's our today giant in this context? Modern slavery and human trafficking. And I know that, like I said at the beginning, maybe some of you in this room here are fighting your own personal Goliath, and it's a big giant in your life, and you'll think it's taunting you and it makes you fearful and afraid. Well, I just pray for you. I pray that God will give you strength and courage to get through that giant and pass that into victory. But in this context of modern slavery and human trafficking, it's a giant, and it's a very present giant in our land today. And God has called somebody like us to try and do something about it. And I said to Anne, if we could only raise awareness to let people know that this is happening, then that's what we're going to do. And people like yourselves have supported Voice of Hope, not only in prayers, but you financially supported us. And you're helping us to raise awareness in this area. Now, because I've told you the story before, I'm just going to explain a little bit about what modern slavery looks like today. So, because people get confused about, why do you say modern slavery, then you say human trafficking, and then what's the difference with people smuggling? Is that all right, Sue, if I just explain a little bit about it? So modern slavery is an umbrella term, and under this umbrella sits four categories of classified areas of modern slavery, and this is sexual exploitation, forced labour, forced criminality, and domestic servitude. So those four categories fall under the umbrella of modern slavery. One of the largest areas is this forced criminality, and in the category of forced criminality is this horrible thing called county lines, drug trafficking. Now, it's in our area of where we actually come from, in Stoke, just Stoke there, it is huge. It is huge. County lines, drug trafficking is huge. And perpetrators are targeting children as young as six to traffic drugs from one place to another, targeting their lives. And at the age of 10, a child could have a criminal record if he's found with drugs on him. Isn't that sad? That could last him the rest of his life, or her the rest of the life. And so Voice of Hope is targeting drug trafficking on a big style at the moment to prevent that from happening. So under forced criminality, the big thing is county lines, drug trafficking. Under forced criminality comes where people are being in debt bondage, people are having the benefits stolen from them, the DWP are having massive, massive reports of people that are being exploited, and it all falls under this thing called modern slavery. So modern slavery is huge. The subject, its topics, its scope is absolutely huge. So modern slavery, under the umbrella of modern slavery, falls these categories. Human trafficking is where somebody is transported from one area to another area. So that could be from one country to another country. It could be from one city to another city. It could be from one town to another town. It could be from one street to another street. It could be from one house to another house. If somebody's been moved from one place to another place for the purpose of these four categories of exploitation, that's human trafficking. Human trafficking is the movement of a person for the purpose of exploitation. So that's the two different, so you'll probably hear human trafficking, modern slavery, sounds the same, but they're slightly different. Human trafficking is movement, modern slavery is this umbrella category. And can you imagine somebody being so desperate in this world, where God of the poor, God of the weak, has been so desperate, and then maybe somebody's advertised a great job opportunity and you're so desperate you take it, only to find that's a perpetrator who's pulled that individual into this awful world of modern slavery. And no, they can't just get out of it, because people say, can't somebody just leave, can't somebody just run away? Well, you remember the chains used to hold these people in victims, hadn't they? They used to hold them in chains. Well, it's fear that holds these people in these forms of exploitation today. And they're living in the most deprived, just look at this one with David Handy, where around the bed they got sleeping, around the toilet they got sleeping bags, forced to wash in the canal. And nobody noticed. And that man made over £500,000 in 2 years off these people. I mean, he's in prison now. But £500,000, that's how much money people are making off the most vulnerable people in our communities. And you know, to be seen as a commodity, that's all these people are seen as. Human beings, God's creation. And there's perpetrators out there who are just seeing a person as a commodity. How much money can I make off that individual? How sad is it? And it's happening on our doorsteps. What about some stories that we read about a Polish man that was kept in a loft for over 2 years making greetings cards that we've probably bought? Handmade cards. And all he had for his toilet was a bottle and a bag. And he was kept in that condition. And so I don't want to give you some of the really horrible stories, but let me tell you, I have never heard so many stories that you could think, how low can somebody go to exploit another person? And if in your worst imagination possible, it's being done to people right on our doorsteps right now. And some of the cases that Voice of Hope have had the privilege where they've been rescued from the forms of exploitation, it's been really, really heartbreaking and sad. And so all I can say is, we might, like David, he was the least trained. He set out on doing an errand that day. And that's how people like me and Anne have been caught up in this world. We set out, we said, what can we do? What can we do? Nan's a Nana now, a very proud Nana. But I've got grandchildren now. What can we do against such a giant like this? We've got no qualifications, no experience. We are the least, the less. We've got no form of training. But you know, when God puts something on your heart to do, He will equip you. He will equip you. And we started out with nothing, didn't we, Anne? We just said, right, if we could just get some leaflets to let people know that this is happening. And that's gone over the last 8 years. It's gone from that to where now we're working closely with Staffordshire Police. When they do their rescues, they'll call on us to give them assistance. We assist in the training. We actually train the police officers now in modern slavery, and police custody officers. And NHS, I'll just tell you a quick story about an NHS, and I'm sorry if I'm being, I hope I'm not being too graphic for your children. But anyway, so just a couple of years ago, we'd done some training with the consultants and some of the doctors at the NHS there. And one fella had been airlifted into Royal Stoke Hospital there because... I don't say it because... Am I okay? He'd come in because they said he tried to commit suicide because he tried to cut it. Are you okay, Mummy? He tried to cut his throat, slit his throat. Anyway, when the match, because Royal Stoke, we've got a great trauma centre there, and it's a great hospital in that respect. And he'd been brought in with this massive trauma, as you can imagine. And one of the doctors who'd been on the course, because we always say, in your professionalism now, just look a little bit deeper. Look a little bit deeper. Don't just say, like, for example, there's a homeless man on the street. Look a little bit closer, because he might be forced to be begging on the street. And men and women are forced to live on the street. I'll come back to that, and I'll give you a very interesting story. So anyway, so he looked a little bit deeper and thought, normally, if you again commit suicide, you'll normally overdose or hang yourself or do something nasty like that. You wouldn't try to do that to yourself. When they stabilised him and got him to a place where he could communicate, oh no, he was trying to escape his perpetrator in forced labour, and so that's what they did to him and left him on the street. And then Royal Stoke have been commended for that. That's how nasty this world is. You try escape that world and they know where your families are, and they don't mind if they threaten you, your family or anybody else. And that is the fear that keeps these men and women in this horrible world of exploitation. We go down... So going back to what we actually do with Voice of Hope, so we do our training, we're into schools, DWP, housing, it goes across the board. We're very, very privileged. And this is how big the giant is, you see. This is how big it is. The scope of him is huge. So we go into all these different areas in our society today. But what we wanted to do is we've got this heart for the Dream Centre. We've for many, many years wanted a centre of excellence where people that have come out of this world and have been rescued can be looked after properly. And we call it the Dream Centre, but it would be a centre of excellence where we could give these individuals the help and the assistance they need on a road to recovery, and some will never recover. Some will never, ever recover from the mental trauma they've gone through. But, so that's our long-term goal. And we've seen the building, we're praying for the building, we just need £500,000 if I say it fast. But nevertheless, that's where we're heading with Voice of Hope. So we decided to start just a drop-in centre to get us going over in that direction. And we go down to the Salvation Army and we take church down to the Salvation Army hostel to the homeless people down there. And but what we recognised is that a lot of these men, and there's a few women in the hostel, they've all been, not all of them, but a lot of them, they're either drunk, they're on some sort of addiction. But if you listen to the stories, it's very interesting. It might not be identified out there, but from our point of view, they've been lured into this world of taking alcohol and drugs, and their lives have just gone down bank. So we thought, right, we'll start here. We're going to start a drug rehabilitation program, which we've started. And if I had my phone, I would show you the impact that Voice of Hope is having, just on a couple of stories. So we started off by taking church on a Sunday, just by being that friendly face, giving them the gospel. This one particular fellow, I'll tell you his name, is Simon. And Simon, we've called him Simon Peter. He's given his life to Jesus. And he is an alcoholic. I don't want to say too much yet, but so we give his life to the Lord. We told him about this rehab program that we want him to do. He's coming along to the rehab with three other chappies from the hostel. But Simon got baptized in water last Sunday. We go to St. John's in Greasley Road, Church of England there. And he got baptized. And then I've got a picture of him being baptized, but also that he wanted to work in the kitchen. And I've got some pictures now of him working in the kitchen. And when you start to see the life's been transformed, but the work down there is enormous because you've got men in there pushing drugs, pushing alcohol onto these vulnerable people. And it all falls under county lines. But what we want to do is to weave the gospel into that, because, you see, we don't just want men and women being rescued, we want them restored. We want them restored. And the higher purpose for Voice of Hope is to see transformation as well. So God's called us to do this job in terms of raising awareness and help to get the victims out and restored, but also to get them to know Jesus as the Lord and Saviour. And we're just starting after 8 years to see it. And it's an honour and a privilege. It's an honour and a privilege. So I don't want to say too much now, but I just want to say thank you for your kind invitation and your prayers. But if you hear of county lines, think of it's modern slavery. It's out there. It's a huge subject. It affects so many people. And we're here representing the Church of Jesus Christ in Stoke-on-Trent to say we're here to do something about it. And we're doing our very best. But it's out there. It's huge. It's a very present-day reality. Don't let anybody tell you that modern slavery doesn't exist, because it's out there. Human trafficking, it's right on our doorsteps. And I just feel so honoured and privileged to be a part of what God's doing. Anne's a trustee of the trust, and she's my boss. She's technically my boss and keeps an eye on us, but it's out there. And I don't really want to say too much, apart from I'm going to read a prayer that John Wesley actually wrote a letter to Wilberforce. And this really helped me. He said this, and we're going over 200 years ago now, and how difficult the problem was then when Wilberforce was fighting to abolish slavery. Here we are today trying to make a stand against such an atrocity, and this prayer really helped me. He says this, so this was Wesley's letter to Wilberforce. He said this, "Dear Sir," and I love the language. I love the language. "Dear Sir, I see not how you can go through your glorious enterprise in opposing that appalling wickedness, which is the scandal of religion, of England, and of human nature. Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them stronger than God? Oh, be not weary in well-doing. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might, till even American slavery, the vilest that ever was seen under the sun, shall vanish away before it." What beautiful words. And if I think about that today, "I see not how you can go through this glorious enterprise," he said. "I don't know how you can go through this, fighting this, unless God is with you. This appalling wickedness," and it's still wickedness to this day, where men are stealing the lives, and women are stealing the lives of young men, young women, and young children, and some enforcing sexual exploitation. We were honoured to rescue the very first lady who was carrying a baby. That baby would have been born into that atrocity and exploited. I can tell you that now. But this appalling wickedness. That's how he likened it. And it's the same today. It's appalling wickedness. He says, unless God has raised you up, we are just the weakest and the least. Unless God is with us, we'd have fainted at some of the stories that we'd heard. We'd have fainted. We thought, what can we do when such atrocity and some of the stories and some of the appalling things that men have gone through? Unless God is with us. So we've just got to trust God's with us in every step of our way. That building that we've seen belongs to Voice of Hope. It belongs to Voice of Hope. He's going to make sure that we get it. But listen, he said, oh, be weary. Oh, be not weary of well doing. Look, if you can just do it a little bit, if you can just do a little bit, just do a little bit, just do what you can, just do what you can, and don't get weary of it. Just do what you can. Just do what you can. And if God's called you to do anything, maybe, you know, to take food to a homeless person, don't grow weary and do it. Just keep doing it. If God's asked you to knock on the door of somebody you haven't seen in church for a while, just go and knock on that door and just give them that friendly face of a welcome back. Maybe somebody needs a prayer. Just go and pray with them. Don't be weary and while doing what God's asking you to do. And, you know, and we're not going to stop until we see this thing vanish away, are we, Anne? We're not going to do it. So, you know, Voice of Hope, we're just standing on the shoulders of giants, of people who've walked before us, Wilberforce, Wesley. That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. And, you know, God is the God of liberty. And if Jesus Christ himself, and we are his hands and feet, we are his co-workers here on the earth today. But if the man was here, like he walked the earth 2,000 years ago, guess where I would know where he'd be finding himself? He'd be finding himself down at the Salvation Army, where everybody walks past them and they're exploited. Where would Jesus be? He'd be sitting right with them, doing what he can. So, you know, when you see somebody on the street and they might be begging, just have a think about what we've said today. Maybe they've been forced. Can I just tell you one more story about Marcel? Right, so we'd heard about this chappie, Marcel from Romania. And listen, it's a myth to think that it's only people coming from other countries that are exploited. UK nationals are the highest on the list of being rescued and from it. The highest number. Albanians follow, and it goes down the line. But the UK nationals are right at the top in what they call the national referral mechanism. So please, it's a myth to think it's people from other countries coming over. UK nationals are right up there. Right up there. In being rescued. But this chap, he was from Romania, and he was being forced to beg on the street, as they discovered. So he was there, and he must have looked like to anybody else like somebody on the street just begging. And then what happened to him, and this is where we came in, is he was arrested. And he was arrested because he was being forced to beg, and all the money that he had, it was taken off him. But on this one particular day, he'd had enough and found himself a knife and chased the perpetrator off, and the police picked him up for an affray. But he, for all that time, he'd been forced to beg. And what he wanted to do was just to send a little bit of money over to his family. And of course, he couldn't do that. Now, he would have, how he got over, he must have begged, borrowed and everything for his fee to get over to the UK. So he's in a massive debt. But now he's been arrested. He was forced on the streets to beg. So next time you see somebody on the street, have a think. He might or she might not be there because they want to be, but they are being forced to do what they do. They're being forced to do what they do. Few in court this week where young men have been arrested for growing cannabis. And they've been arrested and prosecuted. Where if they looked a little bit closer, and we've got a big job on with the Crown Prosecution Service, that's where our big target is next. But people are being forced to actually grow the plants, water them, harvest them, and they cannot get out of that building. They can't get out of the building. So the big ones up there are just getting away with it, and the ones that have been, and sadly they've been prosecuted, and of course it's a double whammy. They've been forced to do something and then they've been prosecuted. For the stars, yeah.
So, you know, to me, the good legacy is that, because what we are doing, you could have got these people, what was it in effect? She made slavery in effect. So, yeah. That's her legacy in the gospel thing that when she was Home Secretary.
Yeah, Modern Slavery Act 2015 came through Theresa May. So, thanks, Sam, for reminding me, yeah, but that's. Right on the doorsteps. So, I know it isn't one of those church services that, you know, would leave you swinging from the chandeliers, but it's an honour and it's a privilege to represent the church in fighting the atrocity of modern slavery and human trafficking. And I really believe that's what God wants us to do. We're his hands, we're his feet. And if somebody doesn't stand up and let everybody know that it's going on, and we're quite unique. There's not another charity like us this in Staffordshire, actually. In fact, there's only about three or four within the country. So we're very, very honoured and privileged that he's taken people like ourselves to do this amazing. And we've got prayers like the giant of Wesley saying, if God be for you, who can be against you? So, Sue, thank you very much for your kind invitation. Has anybody got any questions before I sit down? In the coffee room. Well, we're here anyway. But anyway, bless you, Anne. Sue.